Welcome to the Andrea Kay Show. She's blonde, 5'2", and 102 pounds of dynamite in a dress. Here she is, Andrea Kay.
Welcome to hour two of tonight's Andrea Kay Show on this total solar eclipse Monday. Email me at andreakayshow.com. Same question for last hour. Did you partake in today's excitement? If so, did you think it was worth it? Because I don't think I'd drive across town to see an eclipse, but just me, because it's just not my thing, babies. I do want to hear from you on it. Email me about anything, though. It doesn't have to be about the eclipse. It could be a recipe idea, whatever you guys feel like talking about. I've got some emails to read out a little bit later in the show based upon past questions. I also want to hear from you guys if you've started taking any of the Nanosoma products that have just changed my life so much. Email me, andreakayshow.com, andreakayshow.com. All right, much more to get into this hour. There was an actress that I used to really admire who just went off the beam today and made some crazy comments. Her name is Jennifer Lewis. You may not even recognize her name, but you might recognize her face. She was in Dreamgirls and different things. We've got that to get into. There was another airline incident, this time with Southwest. I'm telling y'all, I've never had a fear of flying before, and now I just might. Joe Biden went and bought some more votes today with your money with students. We've got that to get into. Last hour, if you missed it, we talked about the chanting in Dearbornistan, the anti-American, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic Islamist in this country who literally want to wipe Israel and the United States off the map. We talked about Trump's abortion statement that he gave and my thoughts and analysis on that. I'd love to hear from you, andreakayshow.com, andreakayshow.com. So if you missed last hour, be sure definitely to download the podcast wherever you get your pods. Joining me this hour, as always, it's the one and only DJ Sesame Broccolini.
I'm as mad as hell. I'm not going to take this anymore.
I just feel like Monday needs a thing. There's Taco Tuesday and Thirsty Thursday. Mm. Is it Meatball Monday? No, that's not right. Is it Meatloaf Monday?
Well, in New Orleans, in Louisiana, Mondays is always red beans and rice because Monday was typically in the old days, traditionally was wash day. And so when the ladies had to be focused on doing all their laundry all day, they'd put on a pot of beans and rice because it takes all day to cook and it doesn't really need a whole lot of attention versus other Cajun dishes to where like a jambalaya, where you've got to stir and stir and stir and it's just an all day process and you got to stay on it, right? Mm.
Is it jambalaya or jambalaya?
Jambalaya.
One more time.
Jambalaya.
All right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Jambalaya Monday just sounds kind of wonky. But we'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there.
So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a real pot of red beans and rice and bring some in for you. Because I bet you've never had any real red beans and rice.
No, but I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime.
Trust me. It'll be a treat. Okay. All right. Oh, gosh. Where do I go to now? Let's start with, I hate to go here because I really, Jennifer Lewis, I used to love back in the 90s. The 90s was my decade. And one of my favorite TV shows that I loved was A Different World. And it was a sitcom, came on after, it was actually a spinoff of The Cosby Show where the daughter was going off to college. And so they did a spinoff for it and it was called A Different World. And I can't remember now, Denise Huxtable and Jennifer Lewis in the last season of the show, she played a Dean on the show. And I actually thought that she's just so talented, phenomenal voice. I think she did Dreamgirls on Broadway, just super talented lady. I had no idea that she was active politically. And when I saw this clip today and heard it, and I saw that it was Jennifer Lewis. And initially, when I was watching the clip, I thought, is that the same Jennifer Lewis? Because, didn't look, I couldn't necessarily see her whole face. And then when I heard this, I was so disappointed because the hatred against white people. And here I am, somebody that has been loving up on her as a white woman and been so in awe of her talent. Somebody that was just, I mean, how many other white people do I even know? Did you even recognize the name Jennifer Lewis as an actress, Riley?
I did not, actually.
No, but here, so, you know, here I am watching this woman that I've had so much respect for her talent, acting and singing and otherwise for decades now, spewing a level of hatred against, and I take it personally, because when you are putting out this level of nasty anti-white hatred against any white person, then it's against me. That's how nasty it is. Sesame, if you can play this clip.
Black people don't want to fight you. All we want to do is feed our children and be equal. But honey, white people are scared. They're becoming a minority. The world is brown.
Yeah.
And they're going to do everything they can to stay in those gated communities, not pay taxes, and put those places and get those wetbacks out of this country. We own this. Well, guess what? You will not win. Because love is the answer.
I don't even know what she said at the end. It's been a long time since I heard this kind of open, nasty, hate-filled. She makes Louis Farrakhan look nice and reasonable. How dare she use that kind of language against white people? White people are not scared because somebody is a different shade on their skin. White people, right, quite frankly, are scared right now to walk down the street because if you're a young white woman in New York, you might get cold-cocked. And then the mayor, who's in a position of power over those white people, is blaming them for it today. If you're a white person, you might be scared because in the summer of love, black people were allowed to go around in the name of Black Lives Matter and beat business owners over the head of people of all colors, by the way, with 2x4s and get away with it, and lock people inside of federal buildings and light those buildings on fire and get away with it. If you're a white person, you might be scared in this country right now about being able to feed your kids and get being able to start a business or conduct a business, because the only group of people in this country that you're allowed to discriminate against is white people. For her to say black people just want to be treated equally, how are you not? There's far more advantages. Systemic racism against white people and documented, legislated laws on the books in favor of black people in this country. That is just a fact. It's not racist to state it. I don't know where her hatred comes from. The deep-seated, actual racist hatred comes from. But she's despicable to me. She's no better. Who was it that I was talking about before? The mayor of Baltimore, was that who said, you know, you should be afraid of me, white people, because my purpose, you've been comfortable and my purpose is to make you not comfortable? Thomas Sowell said it best when he said about his own group of people that when you treat people for a long period of time, you give them advantages, then treating them with equality feels like discrimination. And that's what's going on here. No white person could get away with using the language that she used against black people in this country. That's an advantage in and of itself. And what's this crap about white people don't want to pay taxes? We pay the bulk of it in this country because the vast majority of the 1% who pay the bulk of the taxes are white. Oh, except for maybe Beyonce, who's worth I don't know how many billions, or maybe Alicia Keys is worth I don't know how many billions, and maybe the head of the Black Black entertainment television, or maybe all the Black people that are at the top of the entertainment industry and the sports industry. Come to think of it, the music industry, a lot of Black people making a whole lot of money in this country, nowhere else in the rest of the world, because there's nowhere else in the rest of the world that these Black people could make that kind of money, because there's nowhere else in the world that has the system of government that we have and that they are trying to destroy and tear down. Despicable. It's despicable that we have gotten to a place in this country to where a Black person can talk that way about a white person. And it's okay. It shouldn't be okay. No racism of any way, shape, or form from anybody should be okay in this country. Anything you want to add to the discussion, Sesame, before I move on?
Yeah, well, it's a disturbing narrative that she's got, you know, going on here, because none of it is based in reality.
No.
But I guess the big thing for me that's incredibly concerning is, regardless of whether or not it's based in reality, she is going to radicalize people. This is very dangerous rhetoric. It is clearly untrue, but it's also very evil and hateful and could inspire people who are crazy. She sounds like a very unstable person. I don't know much about her personally, but what I will say is, my big question is, where is this kind of rhetoric going? Is this pre-Civil War stuff? Are you priming people for large-scale attacks against white people and white communities? I mean, really, like, what is it that you're really after? Because based on that little excerpt, I guess, it sounds like Jennifer Lewis really does want some kind of full-on legitimate war against white people and whiteness. And based on what she said, it doesn't sound like she would care if it's violent. So that kind of thing makes me very antsy, because it's like, are you trying to prep people or normalize all this racism against whites so that way you can justify very physical attacks against them? Because that's what it sounds like. And based on, you know, other things going on right now, the circumstances, I would say that's kind of what it feels like. There's a lot of normalizing hatred and, you know, discrimination and racism and even violence against white people. And we're seeing this in schools. It wasn't that long ago that white girl was beaten on the asphalt outside of her own school, and it was by a Black teenager. So it's like, look, guys, this Black on the race violence is already starting to crop up, and it is affecting white people, and there is a war against white people, but it's been a rhetorical war. And I guess I'm just wondering, at what point does this become a literal physical war where they're just going to start saying, be violent toward white people? Because that's what it feels like the sentiment is. That's what it seems like they really want.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
And am I wrong? Am I misguided here?
Because this is what Condoleezza Rice talked about in 2012, when she said that, you know, when you push grievances, and which they have, I mean, for decades and decades and decades, it has been, that's been the Democrat Party narrative, to push grievances. You've been aggrieved by the U.S. and aggrieved by the Republican Party, and just vote for us and we will give you X, Y, Z. So you've got one half of the coin is grievance and the other is entitlement. And it's like Thomas Sowell said, when you treat people, you give them special accommodations for decades, treating them equally feels discriminatory. They don't like it. And what they're really looking for now, they've been entitled. They've been given a sense of entitlement to trample other people and to oppress other people in the name of equity. And ultimately, it's a Marxist message, is what it is. And she's a useful idiot, as we've talked about, because in her communist regimes, the useful idiots are the first ones to go. So it could be that, I don't remember the last time Jennifer Lewis was seen in any project anywhere. It could be that she's angry because she can't get a gig anywhere and is looking for a communist state to take money from somebody else and give it to her. Because ultimately, communism is based on the idea of covetousness. It feeds the worst of human nature, which is to be lazy, to be angry, to be embittered, to feel that you are entitled to somebody else's property. It's not about merit. It's not about achievement or earning anything. There is nobody in this country who doesn't have the opportunity to do better in their life and to rise up out of the ashes. At least they didn't until the Biden administration all but destroyed our economy. And it's only going to get much worse if not only is the invasion allowed to continue, but we don't deport the 30-something million illegal aliens here in our country. And then that includes getting rid of the refugees that are here trying to set up Sharia shop everywhere and pledging to wipe Israel and the United States off the map. All right. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, enough about Jennifer Lewis. When we come back, we're going to talk about a pledge that who is Biden buying votes from today? Well, same group that he's bought votes from before. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Andrea Kaye, bringing the world a much-needed reality check. You're listening to The Andrea Kaye Show on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kaye Show. Before the break, I was talking, we played this clip. It's actually a horrendous clip from Jennifer Lewis. The hatred against white people was quite frankly shocking. But moving on from that, if you missed it, download the podcast wherever you get your pods. Hatred is really at the core of this communist movement on the left. I mean, have you ever seen a more miserable group of people? I mean, I just don't even, but I guess it makes sense because you've got to make people feel, if you're going to remove a society or transform a society from being merit-based to one of entitlement, you've got to make people feel kind of mad that somebody else has something, right, that you want, versus what would I, and I don't know what it was like to grow up in San Diego, but, you know, where I come from, you know, we used to admire those who had more. It was called being people like that were aspirational. That's what they call it in Hollywood when they're casting somebody or they're doing this, a project. It's supposed to be. Our culture used to be one to where we would aspire to be like somebody if they had more or if they were more successful. It would inspire us to do better. And we need to get back to that. Dr. Phil, I don't know if you know this, but he has actually started a new media company and it's called Merit Street Media. And, you know, I was on Dr. Phil's show about a year and a half ago. And was brought on. It was not a good experience for a variety of reasons. And I kind of felt like I was the lamb to slaughter. It was me against every other person on the panel and an entire audience of people. And I was the token conservative. And he just looked like he was death warmed over. And when they announced that his show was ending, I thought, dude needs to retire. Well, little did I know that at that point, he had already started building out a facility and had actually already begun creating something called Merit Street Media. And they have just launched and they're actually a part of Trinity Broadcasting. And I watched a little bit of it because I follow one of the gals that he hired there. Her name is Dominique Saxa and she's a Christian gal out of Houston. And she had, I don't need to get into her background, but she did a vlog of the first week and he named his media company Merit Street because it's about wanting to help restore us to a merit-based society. And I thought, well done. And if you go and look at it, it's like when one of the first clips that they played where they gave the host were introducing themselves to the audience and they were giving glory to God. I had no idea that Dr. Phil was so faith-based. And I just, that's something that I'm excited by that. I find it extraordinary that Dr. Phil has gone public and now he's got this new media outlet that's a part of Trinity Broadcasting and it's openly God-filled and openly traditional America. Have you heard of this yet, Sesame?
I have not, actually, but yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I got to give credit where credit's due. I'm not sure. I might nominate him. We've been trying, Sesame and I have, finding every day a positive story we can bring to you guys. And I don't know that that rises to the level of hero, but it's certainly good to see somebody with that big of a voice, almost a household name, wanting to, later on in his career, he could have just continued to do the successful Dr. Phil show, but actually wanting to do something in media as a part of TBN that reaches a lot of homes and goes and does more traditional broadcasting. I just love that idea. And we especially need that to get into the hearts and the minds of the young people, because one of the reasons why we do our education segments on Friday is so much of the battleground, so much of the front in this war is with the students and the young people. And Biden made an announcement to that end to buy more votes from young people. And we have a little clip to play for you from his announcement today.
From day one, my administration has been committed to fixing the broken student loan system and making sure higher education is a ticket to the middle class, not a barrier. My administration has approved debt cancellation for 4 million Americans through various actions. And today, I'm announcing new plans that would cancel student debt for millions more. In total, these plans would cancel some or all student debt for 30 million Americans when combined with everything we've done so far. To find out how these plans may impact you, visit studentaid.gov.
Wow. Makes me really angry every time I hear this for a couple reasons. It is just blatantly using the Treasury, taking money away from me, adding on to our debt to buy votes. Our country, we had a revolution over a tea tax, and look at what they're doing to us. Taking our Treasury and buying votes with it and giving it, that money to people who put their name down on a loan. And he went on to brag about how this is illegal for him to do it. It's flat out illegal. He said so himself. Sesame, play the next clip, please.
Tens of millions of people's debt was literally about to get canceled. But then some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us, and the Supreme Court blocked us. But that didn't stop us. No, I mean it sincerely. We continue to find alternatives past to reduce student debt payments.
Yeah. Yeah, they sued us. The Supreme Court blocked us, and we did it anyway. We did it anyway. It's illegal what he's doing. It's immoral what he's doing. It's unconscionable what he's doing. And oh, by the way, it's not free. It's being paid for. Right now, it's added to the debt. The monkey that's on our backs. We're all going to pay for it in one way or another. Again, the useful idiots applauding this. Anything you want to add to this, Sesame?
At this rate, we are going to be in debt forever. Mm-hmm. We are never going to achieve any kind of real independence politically, because people will hold our debt. And we will always be weak because of it. It will hamper our economy. It will do so much damage initially, and then there will be a reverberation, a ripple effect that does even more damage. It sends a very dangerous message to people that you can just, basically go into debt and you are not personally held accountable. We'll just redistribute that bill to other hardworking, tax-paying Americans, most of whom are living paycheck to paycheck. And, of course, if any of those nasty, nasty Republicans should remind us of the fact that money doesn't grow on trees, then what? We just disobey the Supreme Court. We just go around them. We just don't listen. Not much of a democracy. It's insane. It's criminal. It is robbing future generations of any real financial security or peace of mind or opportunity. There is a financial storm brewing. Mm-hmm. Eventually, it's going to hit and it's going to hurt. It's going to make 2008 look like a walk in the park. It's just going to be so terrible. And I don't know why more people don't see how problematic this is just on the surface, because nothing is free. Anytime someone says, we'll just cancel debt, you should automatically be very skeptical, because that's not how it works. You don't just cancel debt. Ask Venezuela, ask Greece, ask any country that's gone bankrupt.
The schools are still getting paid. The schools are getting paid. They're getting paid with money that we're printing or borrowing.
I mean, really, the maddening thing just on that point, it is just a giant forced transfer of wealth into the hands of schools and Democrat politicians and soon-to-be Democrat voters if they're not already Democrats. So, yeah, it's also just another way for them to punish Republicans and conservatives and anyone with a brain, really, and reward their buddies and or buy people off. Which,
as
again,
well
if you're so desperate, though, to buy that you have to buy people off, it's like, obviously your presidency's not going well and people should pick up on that, too. This guy's so out of ideas and he's done nothing for us. The only thing he can come up with is bribery. How is that not?
It also keeps the pipeline to the socialist indoctrination centers going, because his plan specifically targets, quote, those who enrolled in, quote, low financial value programs, which left students in debt but without good job prospects. So they took loans out, got degrees with that don't provide jobs, like gender studies crap, and how to host a rally, and then they can't get work, and now we're adding this debt to the backs of hardworking Americans. That's what these low financial value degrees are. They're socialist degrees. So that's a part of it as well, is rewarding these communist institutions for churning out little socialist soldiers for the state. And it makes me really angry. And I've actually had some arguments with some conservative friends of mine, friends of people who went and got higher education, you know, degrees, like went to law school and other stuff, and they've still got a lot of debt. Well, that was your choice. It was your choice. You know, what's next? We're going to be paying off car loans for people? I'm telling you, that's coming. That's the next thing. We're going to be told, because they're already, we talked a lot last week about all the different ways in which they're going after personal property. What's next, that they're going to, you know, say, well, you've got to cough over you. You got an extra car and these poor people need it, or these poor people aren't, they're just loaded down with auto debt, or loaded down with this debt, or, you know, it because it's every bit of it, 100% is an income redistribution scheme. Who was it who said once people realize that they can vote themselves money from the treasury, we're toast, to paraphrase? That's where we're at. So, you know what? It's time to make our voices heard. We got to get active. I don't know if these kinds of plans can be overturned if Trump gets back into the Oval Office, but in order to get this debt turned around, one of the things we got to do is we got to start trimming government. We've got to go back to unleashing the private sector, unleashing manufacturing here, and we've got to cut out entire departments. The Department of Energy, we need to be getting rid of the Department of Education. The Department of Education only started in, what, 1980? I mean, we got along how many years without it? We don't even need most of the departments we have. We certainly need to get rid of the FBI. Who else? What else should we get rid of, Sesame?
Oh, I mean, where to begin?
Pretty much everyone.
I mean, let's talk about DMV, Department of Education, all these federal vast bureaucracies. Let's talk about the ATF and the CIA. And a lot of it is, you could maybe keep them, but they need reform. They need massive budget cuts. When it comes to the FBI, I don't think there's any use in having them around at all. Or the CIA or the NSA. We have all these different agencies that are just used to spy on critics of the government. Law-abiding citizens that haven't done anything. It's so much of this is just different tools that are weaponized against us. So, yeah, I mean, people need to understand that. It's like people just need to take a step back and look at that bigger picture and realize there is a war being waged against you, and they try to convince you that it's all in the name of progress or equity or whatever, but they're selling you poison pills, and ultimately the useful idiots will be the first ones to go. So it's a shame to see so many people fall into that category, because they are carrying water for people that don't have their best interests in mind. Come on. I mean, let's just be honest.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. But we will be back in a few minutes. I've got some emails to read for you guys. So take a little break with us. Go get a little something to sip on and come right back.
Andrea Kay, telling you like it is, while eating a donut, too. It's the Andrea Kay Show on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kay Show. Going to go to a couple listener emails. Last week, we were talking about birth control, and I'm not even sure I remember exactly. We've had so much news since then. I think it had to do with Charlie Kirk getting into a little bit of hot water. Some people upset with him in terms of comments that he made about young women being past their prime in their 30s, encouraging young women to get married young, as well as made some comments about birth control and how it messes with women's minds. He's absolutely right on about both, in my opinion. And I put the question out there to you guys. I wanted to know if anybody had any health issues as a result of birth control. And Lori said, when I was on birth control, I thought I was going crazy. My hormones were going wild. I would go from laughing to crying for no reason. Then I would be such a biznatch, a B word, and know what I was doing and saying was wrong, but could not control it. I was not in control of my emotions. It was so scary knowing that I had no control. And some days I would be saying things that were so mean, but could not stop it, and then sit and cry because I knew what was doing was wrong, but my brain was in overdrive. As far as what Charlie said, in a lot of ways, he was right. My mom and sister both had issues before they were 30. Thank you, Lori, for emailing me about that. Yeah, this birth control, you're putting hormones in your body. It's chemicals, and it's going to... If the purpose of putting feminine hormones into your body is to affect your menstruation, then it's going to affect every aspect of you as a woman. And I think when these things first came about, you know, for like so many things, Sesame, it's about convenience. You know, they lock us, the lure is convenience, and the price can oftentimes be way too high. So Lori, thank you for that email. Keep those emails coming. AndreaKShow.com, AndreaKShow.com. Here's a disturbing story from Libs of TikTok. Why is there a Facebook dating group for LGBTQ people as young as 8 years old with a requirement to post a photo of yourself and write your age? What could go wrong, Sesame? Here it is, and it's a private group, 153 members, dating group for people 8 to 15. And they've got Love is Love. There's Minnie Mouse, Donald Duck on it. This is, wow. The group rules says it's a requirement to make an introduction post. Upon entering this group, you are required to make an introduction post with age in bold letters and a photo, bold letters, of you. Your very first post must, all caps, include photo, age. If you refuse to make an introduction post in the group page, you can be removed from this group. And remember, your post must have your age and a picture of you. Thank you. I mean, like three or four times they say picture and age, picture and age, picture and age. And this group is located in, gee, what a surprise, Los Angeles, Sesame Broccolini. Wow. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, it's all terrifying. It's deeply disturbing. And it's a little weird that they think for some reason that asking people three or four times to, you know, say something about their age and their name or face or whatever, you think that's going to stop pedos and weird perverts
they'll pull a picture off of the website.
Yeah, it's like you can tell this is logic that's, you know, coming from someone who's 8 or 9 years old who has probably a loose grasp on reality. But also that's just the fact that there's so many LGBT, like there's so many members of this group. It's like, where are those kids' parents? What's going on in their home lives? This is deeply disturbing. If they're struggling with this stuff, then you want to get the church involved and get parents involved. Like, this is horrible stuff. I'm glad Libs of TikTok is reporting about it, though, by the way, because otherwise, how would we know? I mean, thank goodness we have real people that, because you're not going to get this from CNN. You're not going to get this from the legacy media. They're not going to tell you about real problems that are actually evil. So it's nice that there are some people who actually bring this stuff to light, because that is just one of the most shocking things I've ever heard.
Yeah. Facebook allowing this on there. Yeah. And it says about this group, an American group to make new friends, to find a date or find a bestie, 8 to 5 year olds only. Please invite all your friends to join in. This is just disturbing, to say the least. 8 years old. 8 years old. 8 year old shouldn't be dating. People shouldn't even be dating before at least 16.
Seriously.
And this is going around parents as well. you know, there should be a requirement on there that, you know, we need your parents. We need some kind of condition to be, you know, we need your parent to introduce you here and to show that they're in agreement that you be here, right? That you have parental consent. There's nothing on there that says there's no conditions on the group about nudity, about language. It's just obviously a completely open group. And anybody who thought that this movement is not a movement of pedophilia, this should prove to you otherwise. There is no reason why any 8-year-old should be targeted in a dating group. The sexualizing of children in this country is so perverted. It's just incredibly disturbing to me and frightening. If I had a kid today, they would not have a device that had any smart capabilities that they could use outside of my presence. That would be the line that I had in the sand. I was able to go into adulthood without it. Did you have smartphones? And well, you did because you're young. You're only 25.
Yeah, but it wasn't as big of a thing. I mean, it was starting to get there. But Instagram, I mean, it was popular when I was in high school, but it was just getting started. And most of my friends were not on it. I didn't even have any social media until I was in high school. They made me make a Facebook for an acting class I was in. I just never used it. But I it wasn't a big thing in my life until I got to college. Honestly, up through 18, it wasn't a big thing. There was posting and stuff, but not like it is now. People weren't glued to their phones all the time thinking about the latest social media stuff. It was not anywhere near. I mean, that was early, like 2011, 2012, 13. So it was getting started, but it wasn't what it is today. I mean, this is just disgusting. Really, it is.
The problem is that schools are requiring children to have devices that are smart devices, and it makes it difficult for parents to maintain control over what their kids are seeing and being exposed to and being targeted from. So it's just it's such difficult times to be a parent. It truly is. All right, we're going to take a break, but don't go anywhere because we got more to get into. Janet Yellen. What is Janet Yellen yammering about? We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Andrea Kay, bringing the world a much-needed reality check. You're listening to The Andrea Kay Show on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kay Show. Do not forget about taking your health back in the same way that I have. I'm so excited that some of my closest friends and family have ordered theirs. Friends have been saying to me, you have just been a different person in the past few months with my energy levels, with how good my skin looks and how I'm doing with chronic conditions that I've had. Trust me, it's not going to happen overnight. It took me about 2 months after I started being really good and consistent using my spray, my Nanosoma spray. Because I think, and if you've got a chronic condition, probably count on a few weeks depending on what your condition is, count on it taking a little bit, because if you've had something for years to deal with, there's no magic potion that's going to cure you overnight, especially if it involves a natural element to boost your immunity. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/AK, get the Nanosoma spray, the topical gel, and the face cream. And you will thank me later. All right. I have always loved flying. I've told you guys this so many times, but it has gotten to where another day, another scary incident involving a Boeing jet, this time on Southwest, a Boeing 737 had to make an emergency landing after losing an engine cover. And, you know, I'm scared to fly now. And I used to love to fly. It blew off during a takeoff from Denver. So it hadn't even been in the plane. It hadn't even been in the air very long. So it goes to take off Sunday, I believe it was, from Denver International. And the thing blows off. It was headed to Houston. So the aircraft, they had to turn around and land. 3 hours. Then they ended up, of course, 3 hours behind schedule. According to Southwest, the airline said, "We apologize for the inconvenience of their delay, but we place our highest priority on the safety of customers and employees." Well, if so, y'all couldn't tell that an engine cover was peeling off like the shell of a boiled egg? Your thoughts, Sesame?
Yeah, I'm just, it's, that sounds like a lot of, you know, classic corporate, you know, speak for, well, you know, we're, it's a kick the can down the road defense. You know, it's very lazy. That's what they always say. Oh, your safety is number one priority, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, I mean, obviously it's not. So stop lying to us about it.
Yeah.
Admit that you messed up and that you endangered the lives of people for whatever reason. DEI hires, ESG scores, you just didn't want to invest in it, whatever. It's obviously safety is not a priority. And I haven't flown in the last few years at all, and now I really don't want to get on a plane because it's like every week, every other day, there's a new thing that's terrifying. And I just don't understand how this is happening in America. Wealthy, yeah. Industrialized, educated, how could this be happening here?
Scary.
It's terrifying.
But you know what? You may not need to worry about it because, you know, the powers that be with the globalists are working on how they can already. I mean, they're going to use this bird flu thing to try to get us into this. You can't travel anywhere without, you know, your shot passport and all this kind of nonsense. I'm already hearing rumblings about that. So, yeah, and I am not going to. I will be very sad because traveling is something that I dream about and love to do. And I've got some bucket list destinations that I, you know, want to be able to fly to, but I'm not going to put my arm out and get a jab. I'm not going to submit to tyranny in order to be able to go to the Maldives, even though I really, really want to go to the Maldives. That's the top of my bucket list. All right. Love you guys. Thank you for being here tonight. If you miss any part of the show, download the podcast wherever you get your pods. Email me at AndreaKShow.com, AndreaKShow.com. I want to know your thoughts on all the topics of the day and also suggestions for topics. Is there something that we haven't been talking about you want to hear from? Is there a guest suggestion? Is there like a special person that you want us to bring on the show and get their take on it? We've actually got on tomorrow night's show, I believe it is, we have the people from the Daily Caller. They have a new documentary coming out called Sick. And y'all know how much I care about health as well as the corruption going on with our government and their partnership with Big Pharma. So that is on tomorrow night's show. So come on back tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Love you all. Peace out. Keep your head on a swivel.